Before Bill Cosby was ever Dr. Huxtable, you remember when he was Dr. Huxtable? He was a young stand-up comic. Some of you may be old enough to remember some of his stuff. Bill Cosby started out just doing comedy. So let's listen to a little bit of Bill.
There's a fellow by the name of Noah, built an ark. Everybody knows he built an ark. He said, what did Noah do? He said, well, he built an ark. But very few people know about the conversation that went on between the Lord and Noah. You see, Noah was in his rec room sawing away. He was making a few things for the home there. He's a good carpenter. It's vooba, 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 vooba. Noah. Somebody call? Vooba, vooba, vooba. Noah. Who is that? It's the Lord, Noah. Right. Where are you? What do you want? I've been good. I want you to build an ark. Right. What's an ark? Get some wood, build it. 300 cubits by 80 cubits by 40 cubits. Right. What's a cubit? Let's see, a cubit. I used to know what a cubit was. Well, don't worry about that, Noah. When you get that done, go out into the world, collect all of the animals in the world by twos, male and female, and put them into the ark. Right. Who is this really? What's going on? How come you want me to do all these weird things? I'm going to destroy the world. Right. Am I on candid camera? How you gonna do it? I'm going to make it rain 4,000 days and drown them right out. Right. Listen to this, you'll save water. Let it rain for 40 days and 40 nights and wait for the sewers to back up.
Right.
You probably know how that story continues. It does rain for 40 days and 40 nights. You know, in the Genesis creation story, the world only happens when God separates the waters from the waters. They believe that everything before was just water. It was just all water, all the way down, all the way over. And that the way God made life, He made kind of a bubble, really. In the Old, some of the translation call it the firmament. Some call it a dome. It's the Hebrew word for a bowl. It's like God made a bowl so you could get up under it and it would be dry. And then there was waters beneath the waters. And that it was like the world was a floating bubble. And what Genesis said when God decided to destroy the world, he He left, opened the windows at the top, the windows of heaven, and the rain came from the top. And it said he pulled the plug, basically, on the waters beneath the waters. And so water was coming in from the bottom and rising and coming down at the top. And you know the story. The ark, Noah, his wife, and three sons and two wives. I mean, their wives. For a total of eight people. Next time you're in a formal church sanctuary and you go over and look at the baptismal font, if they have a smaller one like for a sprinkling or a pouring, quite often they're made with eight sides. It's a reminder that eight people were saved through the water. Well, you know how the story goes. They took, how many animals did they take of each kind? Well, that's the part we remember. If you read that story carefully, it will say some of them actually they took seven pairs of the clean ones and took one pair of the unclean. I guess they had to have something to eat on the way, on the trip. You remember the story. And it is basically a story of a new creation. Humanity had become so bad that God sort of undoes the whole world he had made in the Adam and Eve story. He undoes it. He starts over. So when you get to about the eighth chapter, he's undoing what he did in the first chapter and beginning again because people had just become so rotten. And then we get to the ninth chapter. The ark has landed on the mountains of Ararat. It's a mountain range. And chapter 9, verse 8, let me read. Then God had said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you. And with every living thing, creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark, I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that's between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is a sign of the covenant that I've established between me and all flesh that's on the earth." And usually we stop there, but there's more. The sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was peopled. Noah, a man of the soil, was the first to plant a vineyard. He drank some of the wine and became drunk. And he lay uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers about it. Then Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it over both their shoulders and walked backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord of life, for your merciful ways, we give you thanks. For your astonishing goodness, for your willingness to begin again, we give you thanks. Amen. Noah wakes up on the floor of his tent with somebody hammering in a tent peg right next to his head outside the tent. Thump, 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 thump. And then he realized the hammering and the pounding is not outside the tent. It's in his head. His head is pounding. And his mouth is dry, like he's swallowed wool. He lets out a big breath, and he gets a whiff of his breath. And he sniffs, and he stinks. And he opens one eye, and it hurts because there's little tiny, tiny rays of sun coming in through tiny little pinholes at the seam of the tent above him. And it's bright sunshine coming in. And he realizes it's past the middle of the day. And he is still laying in bed, stinking, nasty. Noah is usually out of bed before the sun's up. He's usually the one first to get up around the camp to build the fire, to check on the animals, to tend to them, get the rest of the family, get them up and going. But he's in bed past noon. He doesn't really remember coming to bed. The last thing he remembers is yesterday. He guesses it was yesterday. The wine festival. And he remembers getting one jug of wine. And he remembers getting a second jug of wine. And he's pretty sure he went for a third. But it's sort of a blur. Everything after that. And he figures, he doesn't remember doing the things he usually does when he comes home at night to get ready to go to sleep. He doesn't remember scraping his teeth and washing his mouth out and putting on his sleep shirt and saying his prayers and kissing his wife goodnight. He didn't remember any of that. And he figures he probably didn't do that since he's covered in kind of a rough coat. And that's all he's got on. And there he is, afternoon, in the middle of the day, rank, with a head hurting, laying on the floor of his tent. Some people, when they drink too much, they get mean. They get belligerent. They want to fight. Noah drinks too much, and he gets blubbery. He gets weepy. He gets sobby, and he begins to cry. He says, "Lord, why does our family do things like this? Lord, why does our family do things like this? Great-great-grandpa Adam, great-great-grandmother Eve, Lord, you put them in that garden. It must have been wonderful. Lord, you did everything for them, and they wanted to be in charge. And when you caught them, they lied to you, and they blamed each other. Lord, why does our family do stuff like this? And Lord, great-great-great-grandpa Cain, Lord, there weren't but four people on earth, and he killed one of them, and he was his brother. Lord, why do we do such stupid things? Why is our family like this?" And you chose me to start over the world with. You picked me and you picked my family and my sons and you told us to make the ark and we did. And Lord, all the others drowned and we were the ones you saved. And look how sorry I am. Lord? Lord, why do we do this? Lord, you would have, nobody would have blamed you, God, if if when Adam and Eve did what they did, if you had just let them die, nobody would have blamed you, Lord. It was their fault. And Lord, when Cain did what he did, killed his brother, Lord, nobody would have blamed you if you had just killed him back. Nobody would have said a thing. And Lord, nobody would say a thing to you right now if you took your great heavenly bow, your heavenly weapon, your bow and your arrow, and if you just shot me right through with one of your arrows from heaven, nobody would say a thing, except maybe it was a waste of an arrow. Lord, I don't know why we do what we do. And he finishes his blubbering and he wipes his face and he kind of pulls himself up on a tent pole and sort of steadies himself and takes a deep breath or two and he goes and he washes his face and he washes out his mouth and he puts on some clean clothes and he smooths his hair and he opens the flap of the tent and he looks out across the lush green valley up to the hills and he just starts crying again. He just starts blubbering again because there, spread out from one side to the other, is this great rainbow. And he starts talking to God again. And he says, God, I don't understand why we do what we do. But I sure don't understand why you do what you do. Lord, I don't understand it. Lord, nobody would have blamed you if you had wiped us all out again. Lord, you're better to us than we deserve. You've hung your weapon up in the sky. You don't use that bow to shoot us anymore, to punish us, and you promised you won't like that. Well, Noah kind of wipes his face again and gets his composure, and he steps out into the campsite, and there he sees two of his grandchildren just going at it. They are rolling around in the dirt, screaming at each other, pulling hair, poking eyes, getting in as many punches as they can, using language. He don't know where they got that language. And he pulls his grandsons apart, holds on to them. He sits them down. He says, I know that he does things that hurt you. And I know that he says things that hurt your feelings. And I know that you want to just hurt him as much as you can. And one of the little grandsons speaks up. He says, Papa Noah, are you going to whip us? And he says, no. Let's sit down over here and let's study this rainbow a little bit. Well, you know, God's ways are not our ways. For all the reasons we know, God could have ended it again. On into our sorry time with the evil we do and the evil we would do if we could get away with it. But this God of ours, His way is not to treat us like we treat Him, not to treat us like we treat others. His way is a way of mercy. Do you know whose mind changed in this story of Noah? It's one of the longest stories in the book of Genesis, next only to the story of Joseph. Do you know whose mind gets changed in the story of Noah? It's real clear. It's not the flood didn't change the ways people think or what they do. The one who changed was God. God says, I'm going to do it different now. and to this day. This one who loves us beyond comprehension reclaims us, gives us a chance to begin again and to try again, to do better. And every so often, when He sends His rain to nourish the earth and to make the things grow and green, we get a little reminder of it and a little rainbow in the sky to study. Thanks be to God for His love that's beyond our imagination. Would you pray with me? Lord, Your love is astonishing. We give thanks that it never ended with Noah, that it went on through Abraham and Sarah and David and all the prophets, even till the time of Jesus. And in Him You showed us the full depth of Your love. You showed us how Your way toward us is not punishment but forgiveness. You even gave Yourself for us. In Your Son, You suffered a dying so that we would not have to. And Lord, all we can simply say is thank You for Your amazing, astonishing grace. In Jesus' name, amen. People of God, sons and daughters are of our heavenly Creator, the ones to whom God sent a rainbow as a sign that He is at peace with you. The one who sent His Son to show His astonishing love for you. Go into the world sure of that love. Render unto no person evil, for evil shown you, but love one another as God has loved you. Go in the name of God. We love His Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Amen.